Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Today, a conversation with Joe Dallas, his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity. It is available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web, equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Well, it's official. Miley Cyrus has come out openly, not as a lesbian, not as a boy trapped in a girl's body, but as pansexual. She says, once I understood my gender more, which was unassigned, in other words, it wasn't tied to biology, then I understood my sexuality more. I was like, oh, that's why I don't feel straight and I don't feel gay. It's because I am not. I'm pansexual. She's attracted to all gender identities, and she exudes, there's no limits. I was also interested to read that J. Walter Thompson Innovation Group now claims that over 50% of Generation Z, the generation born after millennials, deny being heterosexual, and of course, GLAAD reaffirms their findings. Think about that. More than 50%, 52% to be exact, deny being heterosexual. Welcome to a brave new world. To talk about that and a whole lot more, Joe Dallas. Good to have you back, Joe.
Good being here, Hank. Thank you.
It seems to me, and you tell me whether I'm off base on this or not, but it seems to me that the more affirming a culture is of homosexual behavior, the more homosexuals you will find in that culture.
No question. I don't think the cultural affirmation creates homosexuality. I think it encourages homosexuality, the difference being people who might have, to some degree, attractions to the same sex in a traditional culture will not be encouraged to yield to those attractions. In a gay-affirming culture, of course, they will yield. But another result of that is not just the wider embrace of homosexuality, but the ongoing redefinition and additions to the categories that we see. Just as you were saying earlier, Hank, you can't keep up with the linguistics on this topic. There was homosexual, then there was lesbian and gay, then lesbian, gay, bisexual, then lesbian and gay, bisexual, transsexual, questioning, cisgender, and now pansexual and more. The list just keeps growing. And that really speaks, to my thinking, more to confusion than to liberation. In fact, while you were talking about Miley Cyrus, I remembered when I was very young reading 1984, George Orwell's, of course, famous futuristic novel. And the government had worked very hard to dismantle the idea of love between a man and a woman. And in doing so, it dismantled the normal protectiveness and individuality that comes with siring and raising a family unit with your own biological children, your life partner of the opposite sex who you both join in a covenant with and mate with to produce children. And out of that unit, there springs a sense of responsibility to provide for that unit, to protect that unit, to keep it distinct and help it to thrive and thus contribute to the culture. Well, the more you dismantle that, the less individual family identification you have and the more cultural, even government-oriented identification you have. And that, of course, is a setup for being controlled. So, hey, if I wanted to take over a country, I would somehow orchestrate the very thing we are seeing done when it comes to how we define sex and gender. And really, Hank, if I hated the human race as Satan does, I would do everything I could to dismantle one of the greatest qualities humanity has, and that is our sexuality, our uniqueness as men and women, the beauty of the heterosexual union and its life-giving capacity, what it does for the race in the practical sense by propagating it, but also what it does for individuals in maturing them, in enhancing them. The benefits of family life are extraordinary. Therefore, if I wanted to dismantle the human race, I would start right with a family, and that is unfortunately what we're seeing today.
We're going to go right to our callers, but before we do, I want you to comment on the dedication. I was kind of captivated by your dedication in the book. Speaking of homosexuality, you say to every believer who knows that grace and truth are not contradictory, and that true Christianity will never compromise one for the sake of the other, this book is offered with grateful respect.
Yeah, well, I am grateful to all believers who refuse to make a choice between grace and truth. I respect all believers who refuse to make a choice between grace and truth, because I think that group of believers is a shrinking group. I think we're seeing more and more believers abandon truth for the sake of grace, which, of course, you cannot do. Literally, you can't, because if there's not truth, then there's not grace. It's not reality-based grace. But in the name of grace, many believers are abandoning truth for the sake of getting along, and they are calling, quote, getting along, love. They're saying, basically, to love my neighbor, I must abandon truth for the sake of getting along with my neighbor. But then there are still believers, Hank, who are abandoning grace in the name of truth. I was almost violently angry after that tragedy we had in Orlando when 40-plus people, I believe it was, were murdered by a madman who went into a gay nightclub and just started firing on people. And the Sunday after that, why, at least two pastors, who you can still find them on YouTube, preached sermons in which they said, I'm glad the sodomites were killed. I wish more of them were killed. I wish the government would do it. I think that's great. I feel safer. I mean, just astounding that they could believe there could be anything Christ-like in rejoicing over anyone's death. And that's such a horrible misrepresentation of the heart and the mind of God. So my respect and gratitude goes to all believers everywhere who realize that trying to choose between grace and truth is as silly as trying to choose between water and air. That's not a choice we're meant to make.
Speaking of homosexuality, the book by Joe Dallas, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity, available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, a resource consultant standing by 888-7000 in the letter CRI. First up for Joe Dallas, Rick, listening in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Rick.
Hi, guys. Thank you for this conversation. It's as disturbing as it is. You were speaking earlier about the way that we got to where we are today with the incrementalism and the decay of the family structure and marriage and so on. And I can't help but think that, the cultural Christianity used to be a lot easier to our culture would accommodate lukewarm Christians. Let me put it that way, lukewarm Christianity. And I think the further we drift from that truth that you just spoke of, the further that our culture drifts from it, the more the contrast is. And isn't that, in and of itself, I guess in a positive side of this, doesn't that cause Christians to have to take a stand? And is that not perhaps part of God's plan in this?
Well, Rick, I think that is part of God's plan in the middle of a situation which I do not believe was part of God's plan. I don't believe God ever willed for the American culture to decay the way it has. I do not think he ever willed for much of the American church, well, not just the American church, the church at large, to either become lukewarm or doctrinally weak or morally compromised. God did not plan any of that. However, I think that he plans for us to respond in the right way. And in that sense, of course, Romans 8:28 is worked out. All things work together for good to those who are the called of God. Now, that does not mean that all things that happen are God's will, but rather God will use all things that happen and turn them around for good. So, you know, it's funny you bring that up, Rick. Earlier, Hank and I were talking about possible, in fact, inevitable sanctions that will come against Christians who take a clear position on this issue. Now, I think that the end result of that will, in many cases, be a purer church, because pressure, even persecution, it can have and usually does have a purifying effect on the church, and God can use that for good. However, it is tragic that we, and I say we collectively, Christians, have largely acquiesced to the corruption of the culture and have been passive when we should have been more resistant and bold. And as a result, we, I believe, have contributed to our own upcoming persecution to whatever extent that will happen. That, to me, is the difference between the Church of America today and, say, the early church, which was not birthed under a system where Christianity was viewed with favor and was not birthed in a culture celebrating religious freedom, just the opposite. So I think that we may indeed grow and become stronger under the growing pressure coming from the culture. But it is a pressure which I do not believe was God's will, and I believe to some extent we will have to take responsibility for having contributed to it.
Next up, Jesse, for Joe Dallas, listening in Bolivar, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Jesse.
Hi. How are you doing?
Doing good.
My question, actually, it's more of a statement and a question. What is your feeling about some of these so-called Christians that go to these demonstrations and stuff, and for the gay and lesbian demonstrations or Right for Life, and they stand on the corners or the and they stand there and yell and scream at the people that they need to repent and stuff, and because if they don't, they're going to go to hell, and they're just
Jesse, I really don't have anything good to say about that approach. I think it is deliberately and needlessly obnoxious. I think that there is such a thing as being persecuted for righteousness' sake, and then there is such a thing as being persecuted because you're acting like a jerk. And I think that people who do that would fall into the latter. I see nothing wrong with prayerfully, if you feel strongly led to do so, protesting an event. I really don't. I think you have a responsibility, though, as an ambassador of Christ, to protest in a way which accurately represents the one who sent you. And the people who scream the condemnation are not accurately representing the heart of the one who we know wills that all should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For what it's worth, I will say I've been protested myself by such groups when I've spoken at conferences that were protested because these groups felt that because we preached that we should love homosexual people, we should share the gospel with them, we should respect them, we should try to win them, that we were being too soft because we weren't condemning them enough. And they called us all sorts of vile names and said we were non-Christian and going to hell and so forth. And I think sometimes you want to be on the wrong side of some people. And I think those are people I was kind of reassured to find I was on the wrong side of.
We're talking to Joe Dallas, the book Speaking of Homosexuality. And again, I love the subtitle. I love repeating it. Discussing the issues with kindness and with clarity. In other words, we really need to understand this subject. As Christians, we must not just say, I believe, but we need to know why we believe what we believe so that we will be reinforced in the turbulent times in which we live, and so we can reach people with the gospel. We can answer their questions. So not only are our questions answered, but we're answering other people's questions, and that's the real issue. It's not the run around frantically with a bullhorn saying, brother, are you saved? But being equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. The book available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Simply pick up the phone, talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter is C or I. We'll be right back with more of Joe Dallas right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
When a family member or friend says, I'm gay, it can be very difficult to hear, but also difficult for the same-sex attracted person to utter. In these heartbreaking situations, having the right response is crucial. Few can navigate these troubled waters like Joe Dallas. In his book, When Homosexuality Hits Home, What to Do When a Loved One Says, I'm Gay, Joe offers experience and compassionate counsel for those whose loved ones struggle with homosexual desire. Receive your copy of When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Hank Hannah Graff will return in just a few moments. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hannah Graff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hannah Graff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Few, if any, could have predicted it, yet the moral fabric of our culture is radically changing. What is now increasingly mainstream is a pervasive acceptance of homosexuality that was inconceivable a mere generation ago. And because of the dizzying speed of change, many Christians are ill-prepared to deal with the implications. Joe Dallas offers an informed and caring response in his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. Receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. A conversation with a former gay activist, Joe Dallas, is the author of 7 books on human sexuality from a biblical perspective. The book that we're talking about, available for your support, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. Joe, I was reading Outward, expanding the LGBTQ conversation, and the headline says, "The scientific debate over same-sex parenting is now over." Goes on to say that in 2013, Justice Scalia declared that there's considerable disagreement among sociologists as to the consequences of same-sex parenting, but as it was untrue then, it is definitely untrue now. Why? Well, because just recently, the Journal of Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics published a new study comparing the children of same-sex parents with the children of opposite-sex parents, and its authors found absolutely no difference in health, no matter the sexual orientation of the parents. The conclusion, according to this article, is that it is settled science. There's near absolute consensus among scientists on this subject. Columbia's law school, What We Know Now project, has identified 73 peer-reviewed articles concluding that gay parents do not disadvantage their children in any way, and there is no peer-reviewed scientifically accepted study finding that gay parents do disadvantage their kids. So the scientific debate over the politics of gay parenting, it's over, and equal treatment has won. What do you say?
I think this is another example of something being repeated often enough it is assumed to be true without being examined. The first thing I would refer people to would be the study by Mark Regeneres, which has not been rebutted. It has only been disagreed with, but it certainly has not effectively been disproven, which showed that, in fact, there is a significant difference in the general health and functioning of children raised by same-sex couples. Of course, what we have all said from the beginning, Hank, long before the Supreme Court legitimized same-sex marriage, was that two gay men or two lesbian women can and often do, in many cases, provide a very loving home environment, which would be a much better environment for children than an environment in which their biological parents or a heterosexual couple were drug addicted or violent or wildly negligent. But that's like pitting a worst case against a best case scenario. By the same token, we can say that children raised by single parents can wind up just as healthy and in many ways just as functional as those raised by both their biological father and mother. But there will be something lacking in that developmental environment because there was not the male-female parenting team made up of the two people who created that child. And as I point out in my book, there are levels of bonding based on biology that are God-ordained. The children we create out of the union of our own love and coupling, we develop a unique bond with that cannot be replicated in any other kind of a relationship. Now, can a child grow up in a different type of environment and become healthy? I would argue that they certainly can, but it is not still in the optimal interest of the child. And so What we will have with this, I'm sure, Hank, is the same thing we've had for more than two decades now over the born gay studies. Born gay studies are released, and the media says it's proven homosexuals are born that way. Then other studies come out challenging the findings of the prior studies, and then they get the headlines. Then it goes back and forth in a pretty much a perpetual ping-pong match, and where we usually land is right back on common sense founded in Scripture. And the common sense foundation is that children are best raised by the two parents who created them, and that men and women, in their complementary nature of a relationship, bring parenting skills to the table which cannot be brought by a same-sex couple.
Talking about Scripture as opposed to talking about settled science. I mean, this whole settled science thing, Joe, has been used as a moniker to stop all conversation. It's settled science, and this is used in many, many different cases, and therefore the debate's over, so please don't be an obscurantist.
Well, and whenever we say settled science, I think we're probably being a little intellectually dishonest. I mean, there was a time it was the consensus, at least among sociologists and psychologists, that 10% of the population was homosexual. And that, in the ensuing years since that figure was first brought out in the 40s, that's been broadly discredited. Then we had the born gay studies that, again, were allegedly the proof positive that science had settled on a born gay position. And now those have been routinely challenged to the point where even the American Psychiatric Association and many doctors and clinicians are admitting, hey, we don't really know whether or not people are born gay. And now we're back to this, what I would call politically motivated scientific studies saying that, oh, it's proven once and for all there can be no difference at all. We can discern between the results of same-sex parenting versus opposite-sex parenting. I would say stay tuned. But even more than that, I would say get grounded. The reality is we are not depending on science to tell us what should be. There are facts, scientific facts, and there is truth. Now, facts do not contradict truth, but they do not fill in the blanks either. In other words, we may know certain facts that certain things may contribute to homosexuality, but they do not tell us the truth as to whether or not homosexuality is what God intended. And the same is true of whatever is now passing for settled science.
Back to the phone lines, Vicki in Spencer, Iowa. Hi, Vicki, you're on with Joe.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to, your comment about I think that people, they meet so many really nice people that are gay that they don't want to offend them, and so they say that it's okay. They make an excuse for this. Like they'll say that, okay, your sins are sins, but these people were born this way, so it's okay for them to not call that sin because they're so nice. And I wondered, you know, do you think that Satan really uses our love for our family members to try to, to twist things around? Because, you know, a parent doesn't want to let go of a son or daughter, so they'll make an excuse or twist the scriptures around to try to hang on, or just somebody that they love, because these people, they'll say, oh, they're so nice. And and also, I wanted to see, what do you think about family members that, I believe there's a lot of people hurting out there. Like in my own case, my only sister wanted to, go down that path, but then she wanted to change her entire persona so that my only sister didn't look like a sister anymore, you know, which caused a lot of pain, and almost like the person I grew up with was gone or kidnapped, and now a different person is in that place. But I felt like I'm grieving for the loss of my only sister, you know. I believe that there's people out there that's hurting. I don't know what the science tells about all this, but I know what it feels like to have to go through this. And then you're battling all of this and trying to make sense of all this that's happening to you and the person you love. And then, of course, then you've got Satan working the other end where he's got crazy people killing people, you know. It's like
your thoughts, Joe.
I think that you're talking about the false choice we box people into between love and truth. Where there is love, there will be truth, and where there's truth, there will be love. We do not need to choose between the two in dealing with our loved ones or with other people. Now, there is human affection which can get in the way. When our desire for affection and for getting along overrides our willingness to speak truth, then we are allowing affection to block honest communication. But if we look at God incarnate when he walked among us in human form, on the one hand, he was rather defensive of a sexual sinner when he saw a woman about to be put to death for adultery. And he actually became an ally to her as a person when he, in essence, challenged anyone there who was perfect to go ahead and throw the first stone. And, of course, no one could do so. He literally saved the life of a sexual sinner by pointing out the double standard that people were operating under. That was a very loving thing to do and a very respectful thing to do. And then he very plainly said, that was sin, and you should not do that. So there was no contradiction there. In God himself, in human form, when he said, the truth is, what you have done is wrong, and I love you, and I want you to live, and I will dignify you as a woman and as a human, and I will also recognize where you've fallen short, and I want you to do the same. Now, John said in his epistle, if we say we abide in him, we ought to walk as he walked. So there's how he handled it. Now, I think he would say to you and me, go thou and do likewise.
And you can hear that this is not just an academic issue. I mean, this is a real life issue. There's a tremendous amount of emotion involved. And I think it just underscores all the more how needful it is for every one of us to be equipped, ready to be able to give an answer with kindness and clarity. You have to have kindness. You also have to have clarity. You can't be fuzzy in your thinking about these issues because you think about the other side of the issue. You think about the narrative that is being communicated over and over and over again. Maybe there's not clarity, but it's communicated so many times, you almost think it has to be true. So we have to be able to counter that. And that's why we're so excited about books like Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity. Joe Dallas has done another great job. You can find all of his books, by the way, on the web at equip.org. Again, equip.org. You can talk to our resource consultants. What to do if one of your family members says they're gay? Well, Joe wrote a book about that. Find it on the web or talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. And do remember, we are deeply grateful for those who stand with this ministry shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and for truth.
About Joe Dallas and his new book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, Hank Hanegraaff says, "No one understands the subject of same-sex sexuality better than my friend Joe Dallas. This book, his best yet, only confirms my conviction. I'm not speaking merely of Joe's formidable knowledge of truth, but also the wisdom of its application through crystal-clear and concise communication. In the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, Speaking of Homosexuality will equip you to engage a topic that is foundational to human civilization." Hank would like to send you Joe's book as our thank you for your support of CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hank will be back after this.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit us at equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Not long ago, the gay rights movement was asking that homosexual people be treated fairly and with respect. But today, mere legitimization is not enough. The gay rights movement now demands, with all the subtlety of a socialist purge, the punishment of anyone objecting to that legitimization. The new book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, equips readers to respond to this volatile issue with reason and compassion. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or donate online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Polycarp. He, of course, was the second century Christian bishop of Smyrna. He died at the stake. He was burned to death, and he went willingly to his death, saying, and here's the quote, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? And as I think about those who were persecuted in the first century and the second century, I can't help but hear in my mind the words of the Apostle Paul, who in Romans chapter 12 said, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. And Joe, I think you were alluding to much the same thing earlier on in the conversation. We need to bless those who persecute us, and even be willing to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm.
You know, Paul's heart, I thought, was such a good expression of what you're saying, Hank, when he talked about wanting to become all things to all men, if by any means he might reach some. In fact, he told the Romans he could wish himself accursed from God for the sake of Israel, and there were plenty of Israelites who were terribly persecuting Paul. So I think that you're right. The heart of God is especially exemplified in Jesus in the middle of the worst kind of suffering, saying, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And in fairness, Hank, I think a lot of people who are taking a persecutory attitude towards conservative Christians really do believe that they are doing the right thing. They really believe that we are a dangerous influence, that we spew hatred, that we encourage homosexual people to be depressed, to hate themselves, and that we are a harmful influence in society which needs to be stopped. I think that many of them sincerely believe that. And I think as God gives opportunity, we can reason with people the way Paul did in the synagogues. And I think we can find that in many cases, when we present our apologia, our defense, in a reasonable and a gentle manner, as Peter said, the servant of the Lord must not strive but be gentle to all. I think that, of course, sometimes we won't get the outcome we want. Of course, plenty of people will not hear us, but there will always be those who will. So I hope that whatever the outcome of the upcoming election, whatever the makeup of the Supreme Court in the next 5 years, whatever direction we all go, I hope we don't lose sight of the fact that human need has not changed and the power of the gospel and truth has not changed. And as long as those two are still intact, why, we can still be a very, very wonderfully used by God to bring truth and grace to people.
You kind of allude to the changes which may be on the horizon. I think back to 2008 and the words of Barack Obama when he said, I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman. For me as a Christian, he said, it is also a sacred union with God in the mixed. And I think how things have changed, because now, according to Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, at least the Barack Obama of 2008, was a homophobic bigot.
My, how things change. I wonder how we get around that when we consider that Hillary herself at one time said that she also believed marriage was a union between a man and a woman. And does that mean she was a hateful bigot at that time? So, of course, there are people whose positions are more informed by political expediency, and there are people whose positions are informed by a very misguided but a very sincere zeal. And we have both to deal with, don't we?
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gloria. She's listening in Alberta. CHRB, you're on with Joe.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, I was picked up part of a Canadian broadcast, and the fellow mentioned that the suicide rate among transgendered people was higher than the national average. Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, that seems to be true. That is to say, the suicide rate not only among people who are transgender, but even among people who sought to solve the problem through modifying their bodies, found that was not the answer. For example, one source I have here notes that the transgender rate of lifetime suicide attempts is estimated at 41%. 41%, that's ginormous. And it also found that compared to the general population, adults who have undergone sex reassignment surgery continue to have a higher risk of experiencing poor mental health outcomes. That's the study by Meyer and McHugh, just came out a few months ago. So there is good reason to be concerned about the long-term mental and emotional health of people who are experiencing that sort of confusion. And of course, the answer is compassion and respect and love, but not accommodation. love and respect and care for people who are in that terrible position in which they really feel they are trapped inside the wrong body. But I see nothing loving about joining someone in what amounts to a delusion, a belief that what you are is not really what you are. And I think as lovingly, but also as clearly as we can, we need to help people to understand that what they are created is in fact what they are, and that real happiness comes in embracing that rather than trying to become something you really cannot become.
Next up for Joe, Cynthia. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri.
Hank and Joe, how are you this evening?
Doing well.
Thank you guys for taking my call. I have a comment. I've been listening for a long time, and I wanted to comment that I had a question for Joe. I wanted to comment on the subject of judging. We know the scriptures is very clear when they say that the world or the sinners that have not received Christ is judged already. So we can't go to the center with judgmentalness. We have to go to the center with what Jesus came to us with before we were converted, with his love. And I know that a lot of people are misunderstanding that, especially the church. It's a lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, and a lack of love. The question I wanted to ask Joe was your conversion. I wanted to ask you, when did love meet you and you found yourself in the truth and wanting to be the way that you know was right?
Oh, those are wonderful questions. Thank you. Briefly, let me say that truth reached me, interrupted me, and turned me around two very significant times in my life, Cynthia, although I hope and trust it will always keep turning me around. When I was 16, I first heard the truth of the gospel, and God, by his Holy Spirit, convicted me and gave me the faith. Both made me very unsettled about my sinful state and gave me the faith to believe the promises of God in Christ. And that is when I was converted from death to life. I backslid into sexual sin 7 years later and was again interrupted and reached by truth in 1984 when I was 29, when God made it very clear to me again by conviction of the Spirit and a reawakening of my early teaching and biblical training to the fact that I had been kidding myself, had allowed myself to be deceived through my own rebellion. And that was when truth really embraced me and converted me, I think, from a severely backslidden state, from a prodigal state, back into a disciple's state. And I think that I credit largely the years of hearing solid Bible teaching, which I can't overemphasize how important it is that we ground people well in doctrine, because the well-grounded believer may still choose to ignore truth, but she or he is going to have a heck of a time pushing that truth down perpetually. And it does bear good fruit, and I can certainly testify to that myself.
Let me see if I can just sneak in one more call. It's going to be quick. Joseph in Bakersfield, California, listening on KERI. You're on with Joe. Please be brief. We only have a little bit of time left.
Okay, Joe, I have a friend of mine who 3 months ago, we had a talk about her bisexuality. She's a good friend of mine, and I've told her a lot about scripture, but she says she just tries to control it. But how can I, is there anything I can do to help her? And if so, how?
Joseph, if by controlling it, that means she is resisting it, I see nothing wrong with that. If by controlling it she means she only does it moderately, I think there is something very wrong with that. I think that one of the best things you can do is first determine where she is spiritually. Is she a believer or is she a non-believer? And if she is a non-believer, I think you need to be keeping the focus on the gospel and the need to be translated from death to life. And then if she is a believer, why, I think you need to put the emphasis on discipleship, taking up your cross and saying no to whatever feelings you may have, no matter how strong, that would take you outside of God's will. We are stewards of the bodies God has commissioned to us. It is secondary what feels right or natural to us. It is primary what He has determined the body to be used for.
Joe, thank you so much for your contribution to the Bible Answer Man broadcast today and over many decades now. It's just been enormously helpful to people around the world.
Well, thank you for having me, Hank. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and I want to especially thank you for your very, very kind endorsement of my book. I know it's going to open up a lot of doors, and I always appreciate working with you.
God bless you. And my endorsement is that in the wake of the June 2015 U.S. Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, speaking of homosexuality, will equip you to engage a topic that is foundational to human civilization. In other words, this is not a peripheral issue. It's a foundational issue. Speaking of homosexuality, the title of the book, the subtitle, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity. Joe certainly does that. The book is constructed in such a way that it's very, very user-friendly. You can flip through it. You can see the talking points at the end of every chapter. It's available for your gift. Check it out on the web, equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants standing by 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Our position on homosexuality is not politically correct. I think most people know that. And it's not only not politically correct in the culture, but unfortunately, it's not politically correct in many, many churches throughout the country. So we take a real hit when we take a stand on this subject. It's sad, but it's true. So we are ever the more grateful for those who stand with this ministry shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. If you can support this ministry financially and prayerfully, we would be deeply grateful. We're out of time for today's broadcast. See you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.